WildTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull it, Busover. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR's Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going retro, apparently. This I was not informed of, nor do I object to. Hello, everyone. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network here. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Hey!
Can you come over here and kind of punch my MP3 player? It hasn't worked in a while.
Sure, just give me a couple of months.
Sure, it'll be worth it. And, of course, as usual, if he's back from break, we have Tim Stein.
Sit on it, you nerds.
Cotter?
What?
Oh.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm in a bad mood because my team is losing in the championship game, damn it. But Mace has some good news.
It's more of a good news, bad news situation. Good news for me, bad news to you.
Lindsay, will you let me forget that comment, please?
Oh, come on. You know you have a leather jacket for it. Just as we were about to go on the air, I got a phone call. Basically, this was from my internet service provider, who I recently went to an interview with last Friday. The phone call was basically them offering me a job, which means, once again, I am going to be employed. I'm going to have money that I can save so I can finally escape this little hole that is known as Australia and quite possibly be able to make it to the States. However, the drawback is it means that I'm no longer going to be a part of the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is my final week, people. It's not going to be like my last one where I'll only be gone for a certain amount of time. This is quite possibly going to be for until I retire.
You're leaving me with him.
I know this. However, this implements a nice little strategy where I quite possibly might be able to join you for MetroCon next year. Which means we could have the possibility of driving Scott McNeil crazy.
Okay. if I haven't lost my mind and by then.
I'm quite sure you'd be able to put up with it by then. Plus, who knows, his internet might not hold out and he might not be here for half of the shows.
True. Good point.
Hmm. Plus, it also means that you might get more shows with Lindsay.
Also a point.
Mm-hmm.
And she won't have to type out her smart-ass comments.
Hey, we always know you like your smart-ass comments live and in person. Makes them easier to retort.
True.
And makes you sound less crazy. Less, but not by much.
Less, not by much.
Hmm. So, yes, like I said, this will be my final week here. Which means you've got me tonight, you've got me tomorrow night for the Raw Post Show, live straight off the Raw right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And quite possibly I will pop up on the rack Thursday nights, 9 PM Eastern. So I shall be around for this week, basically trying to milk the ever-loving shit out of this last week. Because I know you'll all miss me when I'm gone.
Where are you again?
Yeah, fuck you too. Enjoy your limbo with Tim.
Limbo, shit, his back would never handle it.
Very, very true. So at this point, I suppose we should stop stalling and see if Tim's actually back online with his 50-cent computer.
Well, let's hope so. It's not the 50-cent computer. It's the 50-cent router, I think, that's buggered up. Am I here?
Oh.
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I can't hear you guys at all. I can't hear you at all. So I'm going to reboot my computer. You guys just, you know, carry on. I'll be right back.
Great.
Looks like you're getting out at the right time, Mace.
Yeah, pretty much. Why am I up to my knees in water? Why is the ship sinking? Why are the rats over there? But anyway.
I'm sure your heart will go on.
Oh, totally. Oh, throw one of those over here, Omega. See if you got a better pitching arm than the guy who used to throw Stone Cold Steve Austin his beers.
The magic beer. I honestly don't want to think that there's some guy in the crowd, like a vendor, tossing him beers. I'd much rather think that he summons them.
Yeah,
like
true.
Like a Budweiser can is his familiar.
He opens the portal to the Budweiser realm. Portal magic to his fridge.
I learned this from the wizard Anheuser.
Hiya. See, I'm already going to stop missing shit.
Of course you are. Of course. You know, it's a good thing, though, Mace. You can keep up with all the programming on iTunes now.
Yes, I can indeed do that.
Yeah.
Because after, 2 years of progress, we're finally on iTunes.
Hey, it's a work. We're there. We're on iTunes. In the store. Get us now.
Yeah.
And we're still free!
Yes, free! Even though that's a gimmick someone else does. Anyway.
I'm so tired of stealing that joke.
So, what's up, Fonz?
Doing okay, Potsy.
So, we're going to do... I asked Tim the question on... Well, he kind of asked the question on Wednesday. How would you cast everyone around here on Happy Days? And then prompt 2 quick hits. I want to see if you...
Didn't he officially do that at one point?
I don't think we did Happy Days.
I'm quite sure we did. I think that's where it started.
I
did it.
I don't remember.
Oh, jeez.
But this is for both of you. and the chat room to chime in. Can you guess Tim Stein's answers? Because we're stalling for time.
Oh, jeez. Let's see. All right. I suppose he'd actually be stupid enough to try and cast himself as the Fonz.
No, we're going with the premise that Omega's the Fonz.
Okay.
Oh, because we're going off my smart-ass comment. Okay.
Yes. That's where we got. That's why we played Happy Days to open up. Going off your smart-ass comment.
All right.
See?
I hate you all.
I should never watch your YouTube stuff. Gives me ideas. Anyway, who would be Ralph Mouth?
Of course, you only watch when I'm really, really pissed off at something.
This is not true. I watch sometimes.
When he uses his big boy words.
Who would you cast as Ralph Mouth?
Ralph Mouth.
Spug.
That is what Tim said. He did say Spug for Ralph Mouth. Alright, let's see. Who's Potsy?
Personally, I'd say Tim.
No, he's Mr. Cunningham.
Yeah, he would be Mr. Cunningham. The old dude.
True. In that case, Tim would probably make me Potsy.
Yeah, Tim did make you Potsy. Even though we figured Omega would fit best as Potsy, being the nerd and all.
Fuck you.
Yeah, but
who's the most popular one here?
Lindsay.
Fuck.
And of course she would
I continue to hate you all.
And of course Lindsay would be Joni.
Obviously. Considering the other option is Mrs. Cunningham, which is you.
I don't think she would want that. Who would be Richie?
Alan.
Yeah, I'd probably say Alan. No personality, probably one of the worst characters on the show. Yeah, sounds about right.
Apparently Mace was the most popular one here, but he's leaving, according to the chat room.
Now, we all know that's bullshit.
And Lindsay's screaming, I don't want to be married to Tim.
You know, maybe she should come onto the show.
She might be, if she wants to, she's loud on, because, you know, we're kind of stalling.
She's home now.
Yes, she is. She's back from Georgia. So who would be...
The plane only landed like 5 minutes ago. Sure, its descent started 6 weeks ago.
Who would be Chachi?
Oh, jeez.
Who the fuck was Chachi?
Scott Bang.
Chachi was Fonz's cousin, the one that was dating...
Oh God, now we're getting into, like, late series obscure characters.
I don't think
he was dating Joni. Like, they got married and had a spinoff that was really shit.
Yeah, with Scott Baio.
Next you'll be Archie. Next you'll be asking who's the,
Oh, you know what?
Who what was the character that was played by Pat Morita?
They called him Al, but that wasn't his name.
Yeah. Do we have anyone that's short nation on this network?
There is a Happy Days character that would be an alternate for me.
You think you would be Chachi?
Fuck no.
What's your alternate then?
Oh, I could be Mork.
Now you're going really obscure.
I could actually agree with this. Omega could be Mork. Could be Mork. He could go on to have his own series and be coked out of his head for many years.
And I already have red underwear, so it works out.
Tim cast Scott Barry as Chachi. That's all he cast. And he
I'm surprised Tim even knows anybody from just another goddamn wrestling act. Sure.
Remember, Scott Barry hosts a hockey show with Tim Stein.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he knows.
That would explain it.
And he gave...
Old bastard.
He gave Arnold to Cashmere.
Yeah, okay.
Has he come back yet? Can I stop, you know, trying to lead this now?
No.
Damn it. Damn it.
No, you're going to actually have to go into, like, actual segments, I think.
Damn. I don't see
otherwise, we're going to start... We're going to have to start casting guests of the week.
By the way, go to tweakedaudio.com right now. Use the promo code WILDTALK, save 33% off your order because they're our proud sponsor.
We haven't cast Pinky Tuscadero yet.
Okay, who's Pinky Tuscadero?
I don't fucking know.
Then why did you ask? Who are we putting
in drag? I didn't ask, I just pointed it out.
Alright, so who are we putting in drag?
I'm sorry, Rock.
Fuck you.
I would have gone with Jed.
I'll just sit back here and let you guys keep stalling. That's just starting to get entertaining to me.
We didn't cast Tim as anything. Oh, no, we did.
Yeah, you guys made me Mr. Freaking Cunningham.
That's right.
And I said, well, watch, you know, they're going to call me Mr. Cunningham, except one of them is going to call me Potsy. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Jackasses. Fuck, you guys are predictable.
Welcome back, Tim.
Gee, thanks. I'm glad to know I've been missed.
You have been.
I tend to
doubt...
Can we
actually start the fucking show now?
Yes, we can, because Tim's back.
Let's officially see if this works without me losing anything here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and I'm pissed off because my team lost there. But Mace had some good news. Boy, deja vu. We've been there. We've done that. And we're moving on. Don't forget, WTR Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. Grab a pair, get tweaked. Oh, man, I'm loving my earbuds. They're good. I like them. You guys should get a pair.
They're the only thing that works for you.
Yeah, they work great. Nothing fucking else does in this goddamn apartment, except for that $40 computer I bought and put $20 worth of RAM in. I actually bought that computer, Rock.
Can we move on?
Can we?
Yes.
Hey, can I do my acting like Tim Stein moment of the week?
Not yet. Later.
Whoa, what?
Well, I bought Army of Darkness on Blu-ray for $5.
So you actually pulled a Tim Stein. That's awesome.
How the hell is that going for $5?
I got lucky.
Bruce Campbell should not be in the bargain bin.
I know, but at $5, I couldn't pass up a bargain.
Yeah, at $5, you got to pick that movie up. That's all there is to it. Good move, Mace.
Hey, I would have paid full price for the fucking thing. It's Army of Darkness with Bruce Campbell.
Well, yeah, okay. That's something I'd pay full price for if I had to.
You don't even know what full price is, Tim.
Full price, isn't that like the original price when things come out brand spanking new and shit like that?
Yeah, it's the price that you never pay because, you know, they usually charge you shipping, and we know how much you hate shipping.
Well, not if it's being shipped to me.
So, wrestling.
Hang on a second. Yeah, I just got a message for Jersey Girl. First off, I have no clue who the fuck is Ani Boo Boo, and no, I'll... Secondly, I will not cast the WTR members as the cast of Honey Boo Boo, whatever. So forget it. The answer is no.
Honey Boo Boo is a show that's for people of lesser intelligence than those who watch Jersey Shore.
Okay, I could say something, but I'm not going to because that would just be totally wrong. I'll behave for a change.
I have not seen the show. I've only seen clips online. That's what pops up on the fucking news when this stupid bitch does something even stupider.
Okay, now, it's almost like driving past a car wreck, you know? I'm kind of curious as to what this stupid show's all about now, but I take it it's...
Omega, stop trying to spend my first paycheck.
What? I'm not doing anything.
What are you talking about?
Shit.
What are you doing spending Mace's money on?
Not doing anything.
Okay, just by that tone of voice, I know you are. Because you sound exactly like Owen does when he's guilty of shit.
Omega's telling me of cheap bargains that are going on, and I'm like...
Arrgh.
He's giving me ideas, and I don't need it right now. At least wait until I get my first paycheck.
Do you not see the irony? Maybe. Omega giving you leads on cheap stuff?
We're toy collectors. It's what we do.
Yeah, but he's giving you leads on cheap. I thought that was my job, guys.
There's a difference between Omega's version of cheap and your version of cheap.
Yeah.
Your version of the cheap tends to break down and die. Omega's versions of cheap is good high-tech stuff at cheap prices.
Okay. Stuff that I cheaped out on doesn't exactly die. You're about to point out, well, what about your fucking internet? You know, I had to pay full price for that stupid router. And the thing is shit, okay? You see? My car I got out is a really good deal, and it hasn't broken down. In fact, the gas mileage...
You might have bought a router at full price, but it still doesn't mean that you're actually paying for your own internet. You know, you're probably still leeching off your neighbor's Wi-Fi that's still unlocked.
No. That's what this router is for. It's for my own internet that I'm paying for. Full price. $39.95 a month.
Comcast.
No, Comcast charges more for fucking up.
Don't even go there with Comcast.
Yeah, right, Rock?
don't even.
He's had such a great week. He's had the most incredible week with Comcast.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, so, I got...
Maybe we should take a break and then start the show proper.
Mace, get out of my fucking head.
Hey, God. Say it now, because as of next Monday, I'm not going to be there anymore.
So yes, let's break, Tim. And then we'll come back and start the real show.
Yeah, we'll actually get into Wrestling Talk Radio on the side of this quick little timeout. Listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. Tell everybody that we're here, and we're not going anywhere for at least an hour and a half. We'll be back right after this.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zima Ion, Brooke Tessmacher, Ruby E.
Wait, who wrote this? No, I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
No Rack, named after some breath. That's awesome.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio. Yeah.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's apparently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gift bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Why? Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? It's just weirder. Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have. Gundam style. Gundam
style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless our Made in America.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old pal, Stinky Wizzleteeth. This is a song about a whale. No! This is a song about being happy. That's right. It's the happy, happy, joy, joy song.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy.
I don't think you're happy enough. That's right. I'll teach you to be happy.
What?
Grandma suck eggs. Now, boys and girls, let's try it again.
Oh my God! Yeah, back at WTR Sunday night. Seriously, what the hell?
You've never seen Ren and Stimpy, have you?
Well, yeah, but not that part.
That was one of the most famous. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was too busy out getting laid to watch Ren and Stimpy, kids.
So were most of the other people watching while they were stoned off their asses on weed, but that didn't stop them.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, I am familiar with Ren and Stimpy, and that's about as much as I can say about it. So.
No.
Oh, righty
you
then.
You need an education, Tim.
Yeah.
Maze, hit the history eraser button.
Yeah, working on it.
I got a better idea. Why don't we just talk about John Cena, quote-unquote, injuring his knee?
Oh, that.
Is that injuring or injuring with quotation marks?
Injuring with quotation marks.
Yeah, because God forbid that Dolph Ziggler ever get a chance to take on John Cena one-on-one and actually win when the guy is supposedly meant to be at full health.
Yeah, there you go. Now, here it is. You know, they're saying John Cena suffered a partially torn MCL. Now, is this a legitimate injury, or are they working it just to give John some time off for whatever reason?
If they were working it, that kick to the knee in the locker room would have been enough. I mean, he obviously tweaked it when he got out of the ring to chase after Ziggler in the first place.
Uh-huh.
And even before the attack, I mean, you can see, that you could see his shorts ride up, and his knee was already wrapped and bandaged.
Yeah.
It seems like it's coming off as a legit injury, but another one of those John Cena moments of, well, we don't know if he'll be up for it, so let's just say that this is a worked injury, just in case.
Call it a worked shoot, as it were.
Something like that, yeah.
There you go. So, saying that it's a partially torn MCL, he shouldn't actually be out of commission for all that long. A few weeks, yeah. I mean, we probably won't see him do anything of any kind of significance until the end of December.
Even partially torn, like, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on television. Nor do I play one on podcasts. But a torn MCL, dude shouldn't be able to put that much pressure on it. He basically put his full body weight on it on SmackDown when he was getting into the ring.
Yeah, I missed SmackDown this week, so I didn't see what happened there.
He was in the opening segment of Miz TV, and as he was getting into the ring, as you do, you know, step one foot through the other. And, yeah, it's a work. Like, injury-wise, he really shouldn't be putting pressure. He should be at home. By the way, good pitcher, Rock. He should be at home, feet up, resting.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is the guy that came back to work like a week and a half after having neck surgery.
That's called being a dumbass.
That is a good picture. Yeah, well, then again, how long ago was that? Like 10 years ago, right? Pretty damn close to it. Not quite.
Who knows? Who cares? It's Cena.
He was a lot younger then, and let's face it, when you're younger, you rebound quicker. The older you get, the longer it takes. There's a huge difference between 25 and 30, never mind. You just have to take the pot shots, don't you? Jesus Christ.
Hey, like I said, 1 week left. I gotta get my shot
tonight. Let the boy have fun.
Nah, he's been having fun his whole time here. Just
pretty
once.
Pretty much.
Just once. He shouldn't have any fun.
I could quite easily just leave now if you'd like.
Nah, that would be terrible. People would get pissed off at me and that wouldn't be any good, and then things would get ugly from there.
Oh, shit, even more reason.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, there's the question for you, Mace, right there from the producer. And there's the answer. All right. So you figure that this is basically a work shoot type idea that's they're working on making Cena look a little bit weak to give Dolph Ziggler a bit of a chance, or what?
It sounds like one of those things of, we can't let John get defeated by such a nothing, such a lower being, without there being some sort of a hindrance to it.
Okay, well, seeing as we're talking about it, and we're taking pot shots at WWE, what has to happen for Ziggler to break through that glass ceiling?
A clean win over John Cena.
Does it have
a
to be
full health John Cena?
Can you not get a clean win over anybody else in the roster? Does it have to be Cena?
It has to be Cena. Because they've buried him that much, it's going to take the biggest name to get him over again.
Really does. Keep in mind, this is someone who just beat Randy Orton at the Survivor Series, which is Orton's event. You know, that's him. He is the sole survivor at Survivor Series. Not this time. And yet, that still doesn't make Ziggler look good enough to beat Cena on his own.
Basically, that's just preaching to the lack of confidence that they currently have in Ziggler, or is that just like...
The lack of confidence they have in their younger stars in general.
Okay.
I mean, Ziggler is just the closest one.
Well, with all of the younger stars, would Ziggler be the closest to breaking through that ceiling and actually...
But you said that!
Joining the ranks? He's the closest one?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else?
Jeez, oh, how many times do they drop the ball on this?
They've dropped the ball so much, a crater's started the fucking form.
No kidding.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it, guys?
We don't wonder. We got the measuring stick out to see how far this crater's going.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's almost at Grand Canyon level.
I think that perhaps it's time they actually invested a little bit of faith in Ziggler. Just give him a long rope and see if he hangs himself.
Supposedly that's what that briefcase is for, and that everyone's chanting for him to cash it in. Haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, everybody's been expecting it at every major pay-per-view since he's won the briefcase. And
he's done, a grand total of, two or three attempts at a cash-in when he first won it? And since then, it's been nothing.
Yeah, well, those two...
The worst thing is he doesn't even seem like a threat.
Yeah, those two attempts we call teasing, of course. But, am I the lone holdout here with everybody saying, oh, he's got to cash it in this pay-per-view, and I'm saying, no, that's not going to happen? You know, and of course, the next WWE pay-per-view is the one I'm targeting for him to actually cash it in. What is that, TLC?
I'm still sitting on the opinion that he goes to cash it in at the next Money in the Bank pay-per-view after the SmackDown one has been decided, and they say, sorry, Ziggler, your contract expired.
So you're figuring that you're still holding that he's never going to get a chance to cash it in?
Pretty much.
That's... I don't see a reason for doing that. Really. It's different, but why would you... Like, even storyline-wise, would you, like... You know, Dolph Ziggler, forgot to flip a date on his calendar at some point, and he just wasn't paying attention. Like, at some point, basic intelligence has to play in. They're not going to have a character so stupid as to go, oh, I have this free contract for any world title shot at any time I want it. I've been carrying it around all this time and just completely slipped my mind.
Well, no. Considering he's getting distracted by the bullshit that Vicky Guerrero is doing, and the fact that they don't seem to want to let him cash it in at this point.
Here's what I want.
You want competent booking. I know this, Omega,
I want competent
but we're never
booking.
Get it.
I want competent booking. Here's what I want. Since we haven't mentioned Money in the Bank for a while, I want him to just leave the briefcase backstage. All up until the Royal Rumble. At some point, at TLC, I want Sheamus to reclaim the belt, and between those two pay-per-views, I want Ziggler to earn a normal title shot, and I want him to completely, I want him to get disqualified right away. I want him to go out there, wail Sheamus with a chair, beat him until his skin has color. And as soon as he's done, reach under the ring, pull out the Money in the Bank, cash it in, pin him.
1, 2, 3, boom! There you go.
That would be nice, but again, that sounds intelligent.
Okay, point.
Okay, so let's just say Ziggler gets the win over Cena. Is that going to help his career any?
It'd at least give him a little bit of legitimacy that he's lost.
Because it did such wonders for The Miz.
Yeah, is it going to mean anything if he fights a quote-unquote injured Cena?
It depends on how they follow it up, basically.
Okay.
Like, the win, like we saw with The Miz, a win over John Cena is supposed, should be an absolutely enormous thing. But if it's not played correctly afterwards, it has no meaning to it. I mean, yes, it's a great stepping stone, but if he trips on that stone, then what's the point?
Well, I guess we're going to find out in pretty short order, at least in my opinion. So, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Guys, CM Punk has been holding the championship for well over 1 year. What's been accomplished by his title reign so far?
Sweet fuck all.
Absolutely anything, Omega?
Heyman's brought back onto TV.
Okay, we can put that in the accomplishment column. But
you know, honestly, yeah, it could have been, you know, it could have been played better. But honestly, I have been happy to see a WWE championship that has lasted this long. You know, when, you know, this time a year ago, we were complaining about the titles not, you know, changing hands way too often.
Well, for the last several years, we've been complaining about the titles don't mean anything anymore. Doesn't this bring a little bit of relevance back to at least the WWE title? He's had it for a year. He's been the champ for 367,
68, something like that.
Well,
let's see. Hold on.
371
last,
days.
Last Monday was 365.
So 371 days.
Seven, yeah.
The math, 371 days. I already did the math for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so...
But the thing is with this entire... Like, yeah, it's good to see somebody hold the belt for over a calendar year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that brings a little bit of credibility back. But when your champion is constantly playing second fiddle,
yeah,
to, you know, the John Cena, AJ, high school drama bullshit, Vicky Guerrero is a retarded general manager, the return and subsequent disappearance of Brock Lesnar, same thing with Triple H.
We went through it for a long time. How many months in a row did CM Punk hold that belt and not main event anything?
I think he's only main evented what, twice in 12 months?
Usually when Cena was the one he was facing.
Yeah.
It's great to have a champion that's held onto the belt for this long. You know, okay. Early on it was through just being the best damn wrestler on the roster, and now it's by hook or by crook as he's turned heel. But in that time, it really hasn't meant anything because it wasn't spotlighted properly. You know, only now that Cena's back in the title picture do you go, oh, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is the best in the world. This is the champion, you know. And it's a little late to put that relevance on the belt when you've been diminishing it for the last year.
Plus, you take a look at this past Monday on Raw, which was the big one-year celebration. What did it turn into? Another thing to turn around and go, here's Ryback! And then, here's our NXT rookies coming in and taking down Ryback.
Yeah, it wasn't even, like, even now... Like, even now, at 1 year celebration, like, even now, into Survivor Series, it wasn't necessarily CM Punk keeping the world title for a year. But the concern was, you know, what they played to was, can Ryback be stopped?
Yeah, the basic thing leading up to it was, can Ryback be stopped, or will John Cena defeat the odds and get the title back? Or, as the third point in the entire story, will CM Punk's title reign make it for a year?
Yeah. In reality, the only thing they really paid attention to, the only focus on it, on the world title, was, you know, like May said, it was in third place.
Which is unfortunate, because when CM Punk first started all this, when he made this push towards the world title over a year ago, people were excited and expected something to happen. And as per usual, creative got a hold of it and turned it into a steaming pile of slag. So, unfortunately, this is hurting CM Punk and the title due to creative once again not willing to put any faith in anybody that's not a 6 foot, you know, fucking arms or at least half of his body gorilla, or if your name's John Cena.
Yeah. At a time when CM Punk was selling merchandise as well as Cena was, he was getting universal pops, whether he was a face or a heel, while Cena was still getting mixed reactions. You had every reason to put all your faith in CM Punk, who was putting on, hands down, the best matches in the WWE at the time. And even with all of that going for him, they still diminished him.
And even now, he's still getting the chance from the crowd, Punk is.
Yeah. People are still enjoying what CM Punk brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, okay, I'm going to just quickly pulling up. There was a recent interview with Bret Hart, and Bret Hart cites Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and Rey Mysterio as today's innovators. No John fucking Cena. No fucking Ryback. Guys who can actually fucking wrestle and sure, a half-disabled midget who sometimes looks like a fucking pink dildo, but...
the
wrestlers are putting on good, solid matches. They are entertaining. They are doing something different that is getting the crowd's attention, yet they are still standing outside the spotlight while it is shining on John Cena and a fucking gorilla.
I think you just quoted something that you should get trending on Twitter, Mace.
You know what? I know for a fact I cannot get anything fucking trending on Twitter.
Well, that's never stopped us from trying before now, has it?
True.
There you go. In fact, isn't that all that counts? Is that you try?
Yeah, and one of these days we will get Omega to trend on Twitter, and then he'll have to actually run naked down his street.
That offer expired.
You never put an expiry date on it when it first was thought of, so...
This must have been something that happened when I wasn't around.
That's a long time OTL jerk.
So the offer kind of expired with OTL, did it?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Is that more controversy because you're coming across like that was implied when no implication was ever made and you'd still be on the hook for it?
Anyway, have we beaten this horse to death yet?
I hope so.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we got roundtable coming up, but I'm going to hold off on that. I have a question for you guys. Envelope.
A Linda McMahon staffer?
How about...
A worker in the Trojan test department.
Yeah, now how about screwed when you go to try to cash said check?
Yeah, way to... Yeah, nah.
Yeah, good fuck up joke. There you go. So, yeah, somebody reported they got a condom with a check from Linda McMahon's campaign when they tried to cash the check. It bounced. No word on whether or not the condom held up, though.
So, you know, I know I already made the beating a dead horse joke, but can we move on? Because that one's beating to death that the bones are dust.
Better late than never, Brock. Oh boy, why don't we just do roundtable?
How about we take a break?
You want to take a break? Another one? My God, seems like we only took one half an hour ago. All right.
Oh my God, with our breaks. Let's imagine that for a moment.
Everybody, we're going to take a break. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this with a little bit more coming your way.
Everybody, Johnny Cashmere back here on WildTalkRadio.com, reminding you that every Friday night we get deep. That's right, have your depth checked for free on WildTalkRadio.com. Friday nights, 9 p.m., with my wake up call, we talk to guests from the world of paranormal, the world of fringe, guests like author Michael Cremo, guests like Ancient Aliens' own Philip Coppens, guests like Sci-Fi Channel's Ben Hansen, and many, many more scheduled throughout the year. Check us out Friday nights right here for your wake-up call. This is Johnny Cashmere.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's 4 styles and 6 colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. 4 styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal, because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hey, man. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Well,
that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Ed. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're men.
the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like cities, but watch what you say or else we'll put out your lights. We're men in tights. Always on guard defending the people's rights.
Back to WTR Sunday night, and I'm really starting to wonder about these tricks for the songs that you've picked out, Rock. Really. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, why don't we just get right into the round table?
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
All right, tonight's roundtable question. Play along in the chat room if you feel like it. What was the last great debut of a character in wrestling? Omega.
Last great debut.
Last great debut.
Glacier.
I was going to say Tara's boyfriend, but... She's tough.
Grab some meal and squirt a little.
You know what? I'm going to go with Karma.
How come?
I really like... Well, for starters, I liked her build-up, and all you need was a creepy laugh just to know... You know, she was going to mean business whenever she debuted. And when she actually did come out... The crowd popped. They were automatically hot, and when they saw her for the first time, I mean, of course, we know. I mean, it's Awesome Kong, but you know, she's a behemoth compared to the divas we usually get. I mean, it was a huge deal. It's, and I'd say it's the last big character debut, because when's the last time something big happened in the divas division?
The time Sable had handprints on her boobs?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What? Boobs? Where? What?
That was, what pay-per-view was that?
What pay-per-view?
The one where Karma debuted.
The Karma debut?
Yeah. It was Michelle McCool's.
Extreme Rules, was it?
Is that Extreme Rules?
Might be. Either Extreme Rules. Wait, did she debut when we got Bin Laden?
Oh, it's, okay. So
that's such a weird comparison to make.
But if it's Extreme Rules, that would be the day.
Yeah, Bin Laden is assassinated and Karma debuts. Think about it.
This is how we remember this, because we're wrestling fans.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just proof that Karma's a bitch, man. Yes, I know, boo.
Hold on. to the wikis.
To the wiki we go. While you're going to the wiki.
Debut May 1st at Extreme Rules, attacking Michelle McCool after a match where she had lost her WWE contract.
Yeah. So, I guess it was Rock.
Yeah, that one.
And I like how you put that, after we got Bin Laden, like you had anything to do with it.
Hey, it's a country thing, just saying.
I didn't know Rock was on SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, He's just been declassified, it's okay.
There you go, he's the guy that flew the copter, the one that crashed. It wasn't a country thing. It was a global thing.
Whatever.
Sure, the American team pulled it off and whatever. Still, that was a global thing.
And apparently The Rock knew before anyone else.
Well, yeah, he's the one who tweeted it, didn't he?
Yeah.
But apparently...
By the way, CM Punk is on Talking Dead right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually...
Yeah, we'll promote it. WWE.
Yeah, WWE won't promote it. But... he was a little bit choked about that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was yapping, you know, they could have gotten... And he's right, they could have gotten a little bit of mileage promoting the fact that Punk was on Walking Dead.
Talking Dead.
Talking Dead.
On Talking Dead, that he was a part of the, what was it, the Chicago Thanksgiving Day Parade, and,
yeah.
You know, all these other appearances, but nah, it's not John Cena, so they don't give a shit.
If he was a good guy, he would have been promoted.
Okay, yeah,
it shouldn't matter. It's promotion for the fucking company.
I know.
You realize WWE is doing the same bullshit that WCW did? When a WCW guy would be on a television show, on a talk show, on something outside of the company, it was never acknowledged by WCW. WWE, unless it is something that is done in conjunction with the company through their stupid fucking talent relations bullshit, or your name is John Cena, they don't give a flying fuck.
Well, yeah,
except in WCW, it was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we actually put forth the rumor that it was John Cena that got in Vince's face saying he was out of touch, but a few people are speculating now because of the lack of, I guess you'd call it, extracurricular support by WWE as far as CM Punk goes. Some people are speculating it was actually Punk that called out Vince.
Yeah, and you know what? Spider-Man is really Norman Osborn. Let's move the fuck on.
Going back to the question at hand, we have a Shockmaster, a Gobbledygooker. We had a Kane for the great debut, the last great debut. What do you think, Mace?
Last great debut. Well, you know, for something that was memorable, I would probably say Jericho's was the last great debut. His original debut against The Rock, mind you, not the 85 that came after.
Oh, come on. Number 62 was pretty good.
No, I'm a fan of 57.
What number was
57
me?
57 is overrated as hell.
I like number 1003.
No, that's the armbar. That one doesn't count.
Well, that included the armbar. That's why I liked it.
I preferred the one that had me want title match. I'm sorry, you use Cookie Monster in a promo. That is instant win.
This is true. But you mentioned that the Jericho debut. That's how I came up with the question, because I was watching the new WWE DVD about the Attitude Era, and they actually show the full debut of him.
Yeah.
So when are we giving that away?
We're not.
Wow, you're actually keeping something for yourself, Rock.
Who says I actually have the DVD?
Shut up, I was trying to make you sound legitimate.
What? Yeah, that's a waste of time.
Who does that? No, but we're watching it, and it's like...
Definitely not me with my four files sitting on my computer.
But if we're going back to... We'll make a new one from 2011, but you're going all the way back to 1999, so there hasn't been a real character that stands out since then.
No.
Yet, how far did we go back for the last legitimate decent tag team?
Just about the same length of time, if not
pretty
longer.
Much.
Yeah. So,
but you
by the way, Tim, your chat room sucks dick.
Yeah, it's acting up tonight for some
reason. The robot left and it's all kind of messed up.
Yeah, why did the robot leave?
I don't know. It's your chat room. Go fix it. Anyway.
My chat room. I didn't make it.
You don't want to pick it. Anyway, you objected to the point, Omega?
Wait, what?
You said no.
Lost track of where we were now.
Yeah, you've totally confused Omega. He's saying that you disagreed with the consensus that the last great debut was Jericho.
Well, that's so freaking obvious, because Jericho's debut was spectacular. Oh, I'm sorry. I just like the build up for Karma. I want to go a little bit more recent than that.
No, I know. I said I counted what you said, but beyond that, the last one was Jericho.
Beyond that, so then it's Jericho all the way to
Karma.
Karma.
that was the point. It's like Jericho to Karma.
I'm positive there's some in there somewhere.
Hey, come on. You know we're all hanging on the edge of our seats for the debut of Fernando.
Fandango.
Whatever. Whatever.
Now, did they misspell his name, or do they have to change it because Fandango's actually trademarked by a movie ticket website?
I think they added the extra O.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I think, it's Fandango.
Yeah, Fandango.
Oh, bro.
It's a Chris Jericho gimmick. It's Dancing with the Stars. It's going to be over like a Tim Stein joke.
Cheap shot.
Let's not give it that much credit. It's going to be going over, it's going to be going over even worse than a Tim Stein joke.
Even cheaper shot.
1 week to go.
That's it. You're fired after tonight.
Can't
Fuck
be.
You, I'll still be on every other show.
He has more shows to do this week. But let's go through the roster. How do you remember Sheamus' debut?
No. I'm going on YouTube just to find out what the fuck it was.
Didn't he just come out and attack Triple H or something?
No.
I don't remember.
Was he like?
You know, wonder we didn't fucking remember it.
Did he skip down to the ring in like leprechaun attire with Fit Finlay or?
No, that was Hornswoggle.
Oh, because I get the two confused so easily.
Let's go with this. One person we've been talking about earlier was CM Punk. Do you even remember his debut?
He had promos talking about his addiction to competition and his straight-edge nature. Everybody was just going, shut the fuck up and get in the ring already. By the way, we can't really name Sheamus' debut. You want to go even harder? Who the fuck did he go up against?
Ouch.
I couldn't tell you. Who was it?
It was a jobber called Oliver John.
Who?
Oliver.
It was some bald dude called Oliver John.
Now there's somebody who's eminently memorable.
If you ever want to, you know, get an obscure trivia question, there it is.
Do we remember Carlito's WWE debut?
He spat an apple on somebody.
Barely remember Carlito.
Would you believe
he attacked John Cena, right?
He debuted and spit the apple in the face of John Cena.
His first feud was with Cena. With that other dude. What the hell's his name?
What dude?
His bodyguard dude. What was Carlito's bodyguard dude name?
Wasn't he like released like 2 weeks after he showed up with Carlito because he did something he shouldn't have done?
Yeah,
probably. Wasn't that B squared? No, that was Cena's bodyguard.
That's Cena's bodyguard. Ooh, that's.
Oh, Jesus!
That's Bull Buchanan.
Yeah, Jesus.
The cane kittens in the chat room for knowing that he stabbed somebody apparently in a bar fight or something like that.
Yes, you know, apparently he doesn't have a scar from it. Shocking. But if you go back and just think about it, okay, we have to think about Sheamus' debut, but you know, the moment you say Chris Jericho, you think of it. The moment you think of Karma, you think of it. That's saying something.
That's saying that they need to get off their ass and figure some shit out. And start giving us some good debuts again.
Hey, come on, Kane Kittens. Nobody can get a better debut than Braden Walker, man. That is a horrible, horrible debut that will actually live on in wrestling history.
Kind of like Shockmaster.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Pretty much.
Fuck you, Mace.
Yeah, Shockmaster is just like driving down the highway and seeing a car accident. You can't look away.
Come on. We couldn't go past the debut of Glacier.
Who?
You don't remember Glacier.
Yeah, I remember Glacier. I was kidding.
But the fact that we did WTR Riff version of Glacier's debut.
Yeah, if you want to go check it out, it's on the right side of the website. Go check it out after the show, WTR Riffs.
You are such
once again, one of these awesome debuts that was like promo packages on Nitro, dude appears on WCW Pro against the Gambler.
Again? Who? Okay. Gambler.
The Gambler was literally a cowboy with no pants but wrestling trunks who came out with like cards. And he went up against Glacier on WCW Pro, which was their Saturday night program.
Wasn't exactly my question.
Jeff Gann is his real name.
Jeff Gann. Okay.
I went on to the interwebs. That's what Tim was asking. He was asking who he was.
In other words, he cheated.
Yes, I cheated.
It's Wikipedia.
He was in WCW for 4 years? Seriously?
and he probably had three matches.
That's all his career highlights are. There's three matches. The Gambler appeared exclusively on WCW Saturday Night and WCW Worldwide, losing to many of the top stars from WCW. He took place in a short-lived working arrangement between WCW and USWA. He ended up winning the USWA Tag Team titles and then was released on August 31st, 1999 from WCW.
So basically a less successful Barry Horowitz.
Ow.
Hey, Barry Horowitz got over. Don't knock him. He got over, patting himself on the back.
Even the losers get lucky sometimes.
But, he's your homeboy, Tim.
What?
Yeah, Barry Horowitz, your homeboy.
What?
Both Jews. Homeboys.
You fag. I'm not a Jew.
Whatever you say, Stein. Whatever you say, Tim Stein.
Yeah, Stein, not Steen, jackass. And Stein is short for right, my full name.
Yeah, we all know. Look, Omega found your full name. We know your name is Steinberg, okay?
No. The only Steinberg in Calgary who does any kind of radio show, that's Pat, and he's on Fan 960. And shut up, you guys, because my last name is actually Austrian. It's not Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Germanic. My ancestors cooked your ancestors, right? Because let's face it, you are legitimately half Jewish. So there.
Now that was a low blow, Tim.
I know it was, but you know what? I'm getting sick and tired of these goddamn Jew jokes at my expense. So it's cheap shot time. And besides, Rock's laughing his ass off in the background. If you listen carefully, you might be able to hear him.
Anyway, we originally had a topic here.
Yeah, it was greatest debuts. And so, like, a few people like Gobbledygooker and Shockmaster and stuff like that. Those were not great debuts.
Kelly.
Oh, there's a good debut for you.
Well, it wasn't.
Couldn't work out how to take off a bra.
Oh, God.
See, this is the thing. We it's hard to work out the great debuts, but we always remember the shit ones.
This is very true. And according to Lindsay, they have Jews in Austria.
Well, they do now.
Right.
But anyway, it's like I really have a hard time working out any great debuts because all the debuts that they've done over the last 5, 10 years have always been done the same way. Promo packages, debut in a match, usually against a jobber, and then they just go from there. There was nothing special when you're using a cookie cutter system. But sure, every now and again you do get one like Karma, which is so well done, but it's also working off a previously established following. Name me the last great debut of a completely original character that didn't come from another company.
Kane.
And that was when?
Hell in a Cell, 1997.
The Rock debut. As The Rock, as opposed to Rock in My View.
Doesn't count.
Would that count? Besides, no, it's like 95.
That's a gimmick change.
It's not even a gimmick change, it's a name change.
Well, yeah, but gimmick.
Well, he did lose those goddamn feathers.
Yes.
That was an improvement.
But you get what I'm saying. We have to go back to 1997
and
to pull out an original character with a good debut.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we've been missing...
Like, John Cena... Wait, John Cena came back and debuted and he beat Kurt Angle on SmackDown. But he was just the guy who had many colored tights at that point.
Yeah.
Remember that gimmick? They were promoting him.
He didn't even get a gimmick until a Halloween episode.
Right.
Where he came in as a rapper and they went, holy shit, gimmick.
Yeah, but they praised that he had so many different wrestling attires. And now he has one.
They do. He does have a new line of shirts and wristbands every 2 months.
Available at www.shop.com.
Open the legs a little wider.
YouTube.com/TJOmega.
Yeah, come watch me when I'm not pissed off of shit.
Anyway.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
So,
I guess you haven't figured it out, everybody. It's been a really, really, really slow week in wrestling. Not much to talk about other than Triple H and his haircut.
Talk about it, Tim. That's the whole idea for the story. You know, that's the hope. Talk.
Tell me you shaved his head. Please tell me you shaved his head.
Not quite. He cut off what he calls his ponytail because he's been sick and tired of it apparently for a few years. Didn't think anything about it. Just got rid of it because when he was in corporate office, of course, he'd take his hair, put it in a ponytail, just keep it out of the way. Said, ah, the hell, we'll just cut it off. Boom. And then all of a sudden he shows up after he gets his hair cut at the offices, takes two pictures, goes in. 5 minutes later, he's all over TMZ. As far as he's concerned, it's not that big of a deal.
See, that's what happens in the world when cutting your hair makes TMZ headlines.
There you go.
He also got a pedicure, apparently.
Thank you. What do you have for lunch?
I don't know. Wait for Lindsay to tell me.
Waiting for who to tell you?
Lindsay. She's the one who said he got a pedicure.
Oh, how does Lindsay know he got a pedicure?
She's our fashion expert.
And there's a picture on PWmania.com, the official news site of Wild Talk Radio.
You know, somebody decided to come up with including yet another list on the rundown.
Yeah.
Top 100 Raw moments in history.
Hey, this one didn't come from WWE.com, so you can't blame me. You said WWE.com. It wasn't
blame you all we want.
And Mega, he had steak.
He had steak.
I'm sure it wasn't the three rookies that he roasted over an open fire.
Okay, this is still coming from WWE because it's on the WWE DVD top 100 Raw moments in history.
Okay.
So technically it's still from WWE.
Okay, Tim. But it was on WWE.com, which was your big complaint.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, so like because you wanted to avoid the complaint, instead of going to WWE.com, you grabbed it from a different website.
Yes.
Oh, he's,
technicality.
He's playing the technicality card on you.
And I don't think it was on WWE.com because it's for their new DVD.
Goddamn technicality cards.
The top 100 moments in Raw history.
Number one, of course, is the beer bath. This is basically just listing out what they showed on WWE. What was it, a couple years ago?
Yeah, okay. Run through the top 10 quickly, then we'll start poking out problems.
Okay, so starting at number 10 was the WrestleMania 26 Challenge. At number 9 is the Raw Nitro Simulcast. Number 8 is the Rock Concert. Number 7, DX Mocks the Nation. I remember that so vividly. Number 6, the number 1 draft pick. Pipe Bomb came in at number 5. Number 4 was Tyson and Austin. Millennium Man at number 3. This Is Your Life at number 2. And as mentioned, the Beer Bath at number 1.
Yeah. I love that they really seem to want to try and push stupid shit. Number one draft pick, which I'm guessing is Cena changing brands 2 times in 1 night.
It wasn't 2 brands in 1 night. It was just the one time. It was when he finally made it to Raw on the Jericho highlight reel.
Okay. See, I wouldn't have had so much problem with it if it was the one where he got drafted twice in 1 night. Which I remember pointing out nice and clearly, which was funny as hell.
That's why you would have no problem with it. You predicted it.
Damn right. Pipe Bomb at 5's fine. Tyson yep. and Austin's fine. Millennium Man, fine. This Is Your Life, not That's really.
No. But it was their highest rated segment of all time.
Yeah, but it's also not one of the most memorable, though. Like, Beer Bath, like, you mentioned Austin. One of the top things people are going to remember about Austin is when he came in the beer truck and sprayed down McMahon in the first 3 rows.
Now, let me ask
you... This Is Your Life is buried in history.
Yeah, let me ask you something.
It's disappeared.
Let me just ask you something as far as the Beer Bath is concerned. When you think of the Beer Bath, what other thing that happened on Raw... do you think about that is associated with that happening?
With that particular?
Yeah, what other moment in Raw history have you got associated with, like, when you think Beer Bath, what else pops into your mind?
Zamboni.
Kurt Angle in the milk truck.
The milk truck. They've got that at 21. That should be a lot higher. Just because of it being like a carbon copy of the Beer Bath and pulled off so that it actually worked, as opposed to being, oh, well, they did this with beer. It's a redo.
I'd say Pillman's Got a Gun. It has to move from 13 into the top 10.
That'd be
good. It's one of the top moments you'll always remember about Austin. Bedpan McMahon should be higher. Why the fuck is Jeff Hardy versus The Undertaker even there? It's not a moment. It's a match, you morons.
Mm. You know, Mae Young getting powerbombed. Does that even belong in the top 50?
No.
What about
live
the
sex, entire... Live sex celebration, I hate to admit it, should be higher. Same with The Rock challenges Hulk Hogan. That should be at least top 15.
What about the full DX reunion that happened at Raw 1000? Does that belong at 48?
No, probably 51. Brett Screwed Brett should be a lot higher.
Now, when you say a lot higher, what are you talking about, a lower number?
Top 20.
Or?
Okay. Top 20 at least.
I just wanted to clarify that. Should be higher on the list. What do you mean higher on the list?
Choppy okay. Choppy PP should stay exactly where it is.
Choppy.
That was hilarious. Okay, Shaq Attacks the Big Show should not even be on the fucking
no,
list.
No, it shouldn't.
No.
No.
Goldberg's debut.
Meh.
Goldberg. Here's one that's not going to surprise anybody. Number 8, The Rock Concert. No. That should be down past 25 and keep going.
Now, you brought up the Goldberg one. The one before that, it's Brock Lesnar returns to Raw. Those two had a similar, you know, return / debut.
I reckon if anything, the Goldberg Brock Lesnar WrestleMania 20 finish should be on there somewhere.
But it's Raw, not.
Which suck. Well, no, it doesn't really matter because. Well, I suppose WrestleMania challenges, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
These are Raw, not
Damn it! Triple H returning to Raw on January 7th, 2002, where he stood there for 15 minutes while the crowd just went absolutely ballistic. Shouldn't be at number 23.
Okay. How's this? Number 61 and 62. 61 being Higher Power Revealed. 62 being Bob Barker hosts Raw. Why are they not in the top 50?
You really think Bob Barker belongs in the top 50?
Bob Barker should be in the top 25. That was one of the most enjoyable Raws in the past 5 years.
I wasn't calling you out. I was just expecting you to defend your position on it. That's all. So
I know. I'm just explaining. See, the thing is, this is probably padded out by a lot more matches than should be.
Yeah, probably.
Seth Green as the first celebrity host should not be on.
Oh, fuck that. Why is Tea Time with Santino sitting at 99?
Oh, come on. That was funny.
Exactly. Especially when he was in Kozlov. That was fucking hilarious.
Definitely that should be in the top 50.
Number 90, Snitsky punts Kane and Lita's baby.
It's
bullshit. That should be at least somewhere in the 60s. Because he got some height on that baby.
When did you ever think that'd be a qualification for anything?
Edge's retirement speech stuck at number 81.
That's fine.
That's fine. See, again, I'm seeing things like Bret Hart versus Stone Cold in a street fight at 71.
Marty Jannetty.
Yeah. Jannetty versus Michaels. This thing has matches littered all through it just to pad it out. Which goes to show that they don't seem to be able to find in the entire history.
But at the same time, matches were still a big part of the show. If you think about it, they're moments. Some of the matches
This is a moments deal. Putting matches in it?
Yeah. What about... Yeah, okay, Ric Flair's retirement celebration at 56. Good or
good.
No?
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just... there's a lot of bits and pieces in here that really don't... Like, especially... Like, all the matches I take out, but that knocks... You know, probably about 25 things out of here by the looks of it. See, where's the DX bus explosion?
SmackDown.
Oh.
There goes that theory.
Yeah, pretty much.
DX invading, trying to invade WCW.
That's on there.
Where?
Saw it on here.
That's got to be way down.
DX invades the no-fault scope.
Number 30.
Okay, the debut of Monday Night Raw sits at 29. The debut of the fucking show that you are making the list for sitting at like 29.
Yeah, that should be one default.
That should be number one, motherfuckers.
Really, it should.
It's basically saying, oh yeah, we don't really care about the creation of the show that we're making the list for.
Foley wins the WWE Championship is at, what, number 18? I don't have much of a problem with that, because that was basically the turning point in the Monday Night Wars.
That should be at least 17. Anything to do with Bischoff?
That should be like, yeah. I would say 15.
McMahon appreciation night at 14?
No.
That's when he went insane.
Okay, only if that... No, instead of McMahon appreciation night, they should have had the McMahon limousine explosion.
Surprised that's not on here.
Gee, I wonder why. Yeah, as usual, WWE lists are absolutely fucking retarded.
Totally fucked up. I still say every time they come up with a list, we should just do our own.
Okay,
except that would take too long and involve thinking.
That's the only problem I foresee with it, yeah.
But we do technically make our own. We move things up and down their list.
We just point out their fucking stupidity.
Yeah, we don't make our own. We just redo theirs.
Exactly.
Yeah, not... we're not really writing so much as editing.
Yeah,
so
there's
this on Hulu.
So, but yeah, there's that dumb list. Rock, you have your buy and sell segment this week.
Yeah, I do. Well, guess what, Tim? No, if you don't want any more lists, actually come on with content for the show.
Blah, 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 up.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or some.
No! 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 No!
Buy or sell the idea that the name of the Shield is a good name for the new NXT group? Omega.
Sell. How the hell are you going to have the Shield without Nick Fury?
Damn you, Omega, still my plan.
It was just a matter of who it went to first. We were both going there.
Well, no, we were all going there because that's what I thought, too.
The Shield is such...
So which one of them does blackface and an eye patch?
It's where we need Ezekiel Jackson to come back wearing an eye patch. No, it's just such a blatant... It's such a transparent name for a faction because, okay, like... You know that's generally what a faction is when it has a high profile leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's to guard them. You know, you got that, like, you know, we saw it when Triple H suddenly reformed DX, you know, DX 2.0 as a heel group because he was the champion and he didn't want to fight his own battles anymore. It's what CM Punk did with his factions too. You know, whether he was taking over the Nexus or whether he had a straight edge society.
Right.
They were supposed to defend him. No, Shield's just so uninspired because that's exactly what a heel faction is supposed to do.
Mace.
So, this, to be honest, it feels like a really bad placeholder. This is like, you know, stupid names like Project Natal. You know, it's like something you call a movie script before you actually work out a proper title.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem to fit the group, and it just seems like a placeholder until they can work out something better.
Tim.
Lazy. That's what it is. It's lazy, you know? Like, everybody else pointed that out without actually saying the word. I'm saying the actual word. It's lazy. So.
Buy or sell Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan as a couple. Mace.
God.
Out of the two, are they or aren't they storylines that are currently running in wrestling? Believe it or not, I actually would buy this one. Because it actually seems somewhat more believable and drama-filled than the opposition. Because they're playing on... And especially when Austin Aries did this on Impact in, like, the most awesome fucking promo. They're playing on Hogan himself. We're playing on what we know about Hogan. Hogan is extremely protective of Brooke. Especially wouldn't want her dating any wrestlers. So all of a sudden she's trying to take, you know, she seems to be with the bad guy with a heart of gold that they're trying to push Bully Ray as. Then you get the whole thing of Hogan not trusting Bully. It actually has legitimate drama to it. And it actually makes it sound like something that you would hear on the dirt sheets. But it's just playing in front of a camera instead of the forced bullshit high school drama that we're getting with the WWE version. So once again, I will buy this as the better of the two options.
Omega.
I think Mace just nuked my brain.
You reached the melting point for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did I use too much logic in my past example?
Kind of.
Okay, read me the question again. Let me get my head going right.
Brooke Hogan and Bully Ray as a couple.
Ew.
It was not one of the choices.
I'm making a choice.
But by the way, I will point this out. Austin Aries with the phrasing of bully maniacs, or little bully maniacs running around, fucking hilarious.
Okay, that was good. It's the only bright spot of that show.
Why no.
Do such great tape
no. No.
Sorry, Daniel, what was that?
Yeah, I'm goat facing here. No. Anger collage, no. I don't want Brooke Hogan doing anything. I don't care if I'm not watching TNA TV. It just makes it worse knowing that they're actually giving her TV time.
Okay. As Tim was mumbling under his breath, put on good pay-per-views and then shitty TV. Well, it was the Thanksgiving episode no one was watching.
No, so it didn't matter. Okay.
Right. They had all the Gut Check people on. Previous Gut Check winners. That was the whole deal for that Thursday show.
Christian York versus Jeff Hardy was actually entertaining.
Wasn't bad. Anyway, Tim, buy yourself.
Oh, I was going to, sell this big time very vociferously, and then Mace opened up his mouth. And I want to sell it because it's Brooke Hogan, but I want to buy it just because of Mace's fucking logic.
So you're buying it now?
So if you want to buy that, I've also got a new car here for you, Ken. Slightly used.
No, I've already got a car that's been slightly used, so I'm good.
How about a bridge?
I don't need to cross any rivers.
It's okay.
Well, maybe I can sell you some ice. Some ice, there you go.
No.
Sell him some, May, sell him some dust.
Why would I sell him something he coughs up for free?
Because you're that good of a salesman.
Asshole. Asshole. Asshole.
Stop looking in the mirror, Tim.
I wasn't. Trust
me. And by the way, Mace, thank you for using Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan with the AJ John Cena idea, because that was kind of the concept I was thinking of coming up with that question. So, good idea. Anyway, buy or sell. The biggest thing missing in wrestling today is the surprise factor, Omega.
Buy. I will admit, the internet gives you a great insight to the inner workings of pro wrestling, and that for a big fan is good. Unfortunately, for the casual fan, and even for the long-term fan, it's also extremely bad. SmackDown is not worth tuning into because, you can read the spoilers on Tuesday night. That's the same, Impact used to be the same way. I can remember when, the one I always bring up is when Ric Flair redebuted in the WWE, and it's like they had a GPS up his ass, because We knew exactly where he was, where he was en route, when he got to the arena. You know, when Jericho came back, we had photos of him at the airport near the arena. It was a mess. It ruined everything. Like, you can't build up anything in the WWE without knowing exactly, you know, without everyone on the internet knowing, oh, well, they're just gearing up for this. You know, we knew months ago that CM Punk was going to face The Rock. You know, in our heads, it's been a foregone conclusion for months now. You know, and that seems to be the direction they're going in at this point, too. It's just, it takes the fun out of it. You know, WWE used to use the adage, you know, anything can happen in the WWE. Well, not much, not really anymore. And when it does, it's not a surprise. It does take a lot of the fun out of it.
Mace.
I buy it only because there's not, like Omega said, the internet has taken a fair bit of the surprise out of professional wrestling. But at the same time, it's also caused them to have to work a shit ton smarter. You know, Paul
you
Heyman.
You want to rethink that?
No. Paul Heyman's re-debut. Everybody was asking him months after months after months. You know, Brock Lesnar's back in the company. Are you coming back? No, I'm not doing it. Not gonna do it. All of a sudden, what's Paul Heyman doing on Raw? We just got fucking conned. Bravo, sir. Bravo. Daniel Bryan's return. Nobody expected that either. The only time that we ever seem to get any legitimate surprises, and they're very few, is during the Royal Rumble.
And even then,
some of them do get spoiled, like Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, yeah.
But the thing is, they know this really well. While everybody's going, Kevin Nash is coming back for the Rumble, there was six or seven guys who snuck around the back that nobody noticed. So if we're sacrificing Kevin Nash so that we get some other surprises, I'm happy with that. And to be honest, that's the only reason why I tune into the Royal Rumble every year, is because there are going to be surprises in the returns.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of the Rumble, they're getting very, very, very few and extremely rare. So when they are done properly, and when they're able to hide it, we actually applaud it.
Yes.
So you in know, the end, yes, I buy this.
Yeah, because we did get that with D-Von, and that was a great surprise.
Yeah.
Tim.
Well, anybody who's been following me and my thoughts ever since I started doing this online internet stuff, they already know my...
So nobody.
They already know my feelings about spoilers and the interwebs and the lack of being surprised and reading on shit and seeing the results and figuring the show's not worth watching and stuff like that. You know, just to throw out one more example to go along with the ones that Mace was giving. When The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson as The Rock, if you will, first came back to WWE to set up the whole thing with the fight against John Cena at WrestleMania, he said, you know, in a very detailed mainstream publication interview that he was done with WWE, he was done with wrestling, he moved on, blah, 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 blah. It was enough. It got people on the, you know, in the internet wrestling community pissed off enough to actually talk about it. 3 weeks later, he's on WWE Raw. You know, so that was another one that was well done and it was good. But, what is surprising anymore, really? It is a lot harder to catch somebody off guard nowadays, especially. And, you know, Mace will be the first one to say it. And as a matter of fact, he has said it. With the advent of the internet and spoilers and the lack of being able to surprise somebody, you do everything you can to protect what's left
of the secrets of the business as much as you possibly can. And it's really not easy, and you have to work about 100 times harder than you did even 15, 10 years ago. Oh, but.
So, there you have buy or sell.
Yeah, so that's over and done with. Why don't we jump to the great debate?
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Are you ready? It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious, bro? What?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR Squared Circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me you did not just say that.
This week on the Great Debate, it's the Sandman versus Mick Foley. Omega, Foley, or Sandman?
Oh, boy. You know, I've been constantly defending that theme for Mick Foley because of the Wild Thing feel that it has, the car wreck in the beginning. You know, it's a theme that's made to fit him, but then again, Sandman's a character made to fit that damn song. You can't give a pro wrestler named Sandman without him actually coming out to enter Sandman. It would just be wrong on more levels than you could count. And maybe I have his entrance from a One Night Stand in my head. Just still one of the best entrances I've seen in forever.
Oh, it is completely. I agree.
Yeah, I'm going to Sandman here.
Mace.
As much as I am going to do this through gritted teeth.
Oh no.
Due to my personal
oh, no.
hatred of this man and what he does, unfortunately, I cannot go past the fact that his entrance works extremely well, this music works extremely well with his character, and frankly, he scores the extra points for the fact that the crowd will sing every fucking word.
So you're going with Foley?
Yeah. No. As much as I hate this guy personally because he's a fucking jack-off selfish prick, I'm going with Sandman.
nice to see that your personal preferences don't outweigh your objectivity.
I'm trying to be professional here, Tim. Shut the fuck up.
Why? It's your last goddamn night.
It's not over until the fat lady sings.
Oh, well, she's warming up the pipes.
No, no, she left the network a long time ago.
Oh, ooh. Can you say thunder? Oh, don't say that.
Come at me, bitch.
Someone is abusing his last night on the air.
And you know, somewhere, poor Lindsay's just wincing right now.
Sorry, Linz.
Tim, your turn.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Foley.
Just for the hell of it.
Do I have to give any kind of a reason at all? He's lost, but yeah, that's not why I picked this song. Enter Sandman by Metallica was around before Sandman the Wrestler. You're right, he is a prick. but the song Enter Sandman by Metallica is sung by everybody who hears it. Doesn't matter where the fuck they are when the goddamn thing plays. They're not singing it because it's Sandman coming out to Enter Sandman. Besides, when I hear that song, it just reminds me of something that happened one night at the bar when I was still a DJ. I used to play that on a regular basis, and something happened one night, and that song just reminds me of the thing that happened.
Tim, I will point out to you at this point in time in the original ACW that there are only two people who would have the crowd going along with their song. One was Sandman, the other one was Rob Van Dam.
Yes, I know.
So it was not just because of the song. Yes, the song's popularity helps, but it also worked well with...
I'm still going with Foley.
Anyway, yeah, go with Foley. Fuck you then. Not like it matters anyway, just like your normal opinions here on WTR.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where they hear the goddamn beans, but I pick Foley.
Up next, Ric Flair takes on the Million Dollar Man.
Woo!
Everybody's gonna pay. 'Cause the Million Dollar Man always gets
Mace,
his way.
You're up first.
This is two themes working really well with the characters. Both have an element of grandeur to them. But you know what? I can't get past that laugh. Ted DiBiase. I gotta pick Ted DiBiase on this one, man. It was created for him. He had a hand in it. It is an instantly recognizable theme. And it's just fucking awesome.
Omega.
Much as I like the grandiose nature that Zarathustra brings to Ric Flair's entrance, every time I hear it, I still think monkeys and obelisks. I just can't get around that. You know, it'd be a great song if it was only identified with Ric Flair, but the fact that it's identified with 2001 Space Odyssey as well just kind of splits my brain in ways that it shouldn't be split.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave.
Dave's not here. See, there's one of our own.
There you go. That's an original.
God damn, never thought I'd get to drop that reference again.
And everyone listening is probably like, what are they talking about?
No one knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
And just because, Omega.
Dave's not here!
Yeah!
Or the immortal J.A.S.K. Who the fuck is Internet Dave?
That's another good one.
That one's going to be a little bit harder for you to pull up where I could even have that clip.
Who the fuck is Internet Dave?
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's old school right there.
One more time.
Who the fuck is Internet Dave?
Oh, man, the late, great JSK, man. Thank you.
Missed that motherfucker.
God.
I tell you, one of my main regrets is never being able to sit down and polish off a bottle of JD with him. Damn.
But anyway, we're getting to our biggest pick.
I'll tell you straight up, yeah. I'm a drunk motherfucker right now.
See, I have a whole bunch of JSK clips.
Yeah, and we all just walked all over the last one you tried to play, too.
I know. But so here it is.
I'm drunk, dude. Now, right. I'll tell you straight up, I'm a drunk motherfucker right now.
Oh, and Bret Michaels is inducting Stone Cold Steve Austin into the Hall of Fame.
as you say that.
I'd kind of like to see Stone Cold induct fucking Bret Michaels.
You keep going, I'm going to have BWO music in my head again. I swear to God.
Well, next week on the Great Debate.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Next week on the Great Debate, it's The Undertaker takes on the BWO while Chris Jericho takes on Shawn Michaels.
Oh,
fuck.
Oh, God damn it.
But we've still got to get through this week.
No, Ted DiBiase is an awesome song. Move on.
Yeah, we figured that's where it was going. I have another JSK clip I could play, but I probably get...
I needed that.
Go for it.
No, she would kill me if I played it now.
No, not that one.
Leave it for the outro.
Not that one.
Leave that one for the outro, definitely.
Special occasion.
It's my last night on this show. It was special enough. Let's do it. by the way, Tim, you've still got a pick.
Yeah, Tim.
Oh, damn, it's unanimous. For pretty much every reason everybody else already gave, man, it's Ted DiBiase.
Okay.
Wow, that means Ted DiBiase just beat the shit out of Ric Flair. I bet you a lot of people weren't counting on that to happen.
We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are in no way paid off by the Million Dollar Man to promote his song through this event.
Yeah, wait till you hear the promo he cut for us.
Robert Goulet, Million Dollar.
How many people, is there anybody listening right now who knows exactly what we're doing with those clips?
Beyond Lindsay?
It's Litzy.
Beyond Lindsay? I don't think so.
Well, one of these days we'll...
I don't care if we're entertaining ourselves. Having fun, that's the point of this shit.
Oh, and apparently, I'm allowed to play it.
Oh, play it.
I'm telling you straight up, Lindsay. Fuck, here we go. You know, I like Wildcat Woman, don't get me wrong, but Lindsay, God damn it, I kind of want to eat you out because of the picture that you painted.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, fuck. How many JSK-isms have you got clipped?
That's a good question. A lot.
A lot.
At least 15?
Oh, fuck. It'd be nice. It would be kind of entertaining and nice to actually, like, just dedicate a mini show to the memory of JSK and just play all of these clips that you have and just talk about them, just to remember them.
We did that on his anniversary of his death on the rack a few months ago.
And I meant it. God damn it.
Pay attention to shows, Tim. Pay attention.
Shut up.
But I mean, you may have been on a show. It might have been when you...
Oh, get over yourself. Holy Christ. That's it. Let's just get into Quick Hits. Rock, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
What's the first thing you do when you buy a computer?
The software and drivers that are needed. Then put a whole heap of games on it. Make sure the torrent programs are up and running.
Right.
Yeah. Just make pretty much, in general, just make sure the fucking thing works and all the pieces actually work properly.
So do the opposite of what Tim does.
Pretty much.
You asshole.
You see, before I do
after I computers bring it home from the goddamn store.
See, I haven't actually bought a whole pre-made computer in ever, considering I custom build my own systems.
Oh, this one here that I'm running right now was a custom built job and it's giving me a problem.
That's because you're using hardware from the 1950s.
No, I'm not. They didn't have hardware from the 50s that for computer shit. Fuck off.
By the way, Tim, your announcement, you're pregnant?
What? Fuck off. What the hell?
Hey, I'm going what the people are saying. Yes, Tim's pregnant?
No, jackasses.
Okay. Going by what the people say, that's all. Tim, who is the greatest character in TV history?
James T. Kirk.
Surprise, surprise. Why?
Because I don't feel like thinking that one through and actually coming up with a legit answer.
That's the whole point of this game, is to think of a legit answer.
What's that?
The whole point of this game is to think of a legit answer.
Oh, my greatest character on TV?
The greatest character in TV history.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, I don't know. So I'll just say Captain James T. Kirk. What the fuck?
Picard!
Kirk!
Picard!
Kirk!
Anakin Skywalker.
What? Luke.
Jar Jar Binks, bitch.
Get away from the
man. You realize I'm just throwing references out. I have no idea what the fucking question was.
Yeah. Just step away from those funny looking mushrooms.
Before I go to Omega's question, so Tim, is your big announcement you're moving in with your hot Latino lover, George?
What the fuck?
Latino named no. George? What?
No. He's little Asian called George.
Oh, okay.
I think that's Jorge.
Anyway. Oh, it's going to be a fun show next week. Anyway, Omega, if you were to ride in the Thanksgiving Day Parade, what float would you like to ride on and why?
Jeez, I'm trying to think. You mentioned... See, right now when you mention Thanksgiving Day parade floats, all I can think of is that Spider-Man balloon that got really friendly with that other balloon. Jeez, that's hard. I'm kind of torn because... Oh, well, no, they didn't even have a floor. Never mind. God damn it. I really am blanking here. It would have helped if I actually watched the Thanksgiving Day Parade this year. Can I ride the Snoopy balloon itself?
Yes. Yes, you can.
You know what? I like this plan.
I'll let you go away, get away with that. All right. Moving on to Mace. Last week, I asked you, Mace, what is the worst cartoon band of all time? What's the greatest?
The greatest is Death Clock.
Why?
Metal Puzzle. They are the most awesome metal band on the universe. Not to mention the fact that they are a fictional creation that actually has a Billboard listing for their album that was put out in conjunction with the television show. So when you create something so awesome that it transcends being a cartoon and it actually goes on to be a legitimate music ranking band, you've done quite well for yourself. Not to mention the cartoons are fucking awesome.
Tim, what singer from the 80s would have made the best wrestling character?
The singer from the 80s as a wrestling character?
Yes. This comes from, if you watch WWE Are You Serious on the YouTubes, they showed a clip of Michael Saxon.
All I can think of is Bret Michaels. He could have played Shawn Michaels' brother. Kind of looked a little bit like him.
Okay. We'll go with that. Omega. We came into this segment now an hour ago with the Robin Hood Men in Tights for a reason. If you were Robin Hood, who would your Little John, Will Scarlet, Friar Tuck, and Maid Marian be?
Oh, jeez.
And we can thank Edge on Twitter for this one.
Fuck you, Edge.
Because he was talking about it on the Twitters. Kane would be his Little John.
You don't have to do the condescending thing to me. I know what Twitter is.
Kane would be his Little John. Christian would be his Will Scarlet. And Tommy Dreamer would be his Friar Tuck. Eric Young chimed in and said that he would be Maid Marian. So there you go. That's the reason behind this one.
I think any. Okay. Huh.
Yes, I didn't say it had to be WTR. I said anyone. Who would they be?
Yeah. I caught that. That's a really damn broad question.
I can limit it back to WTR.
By the way, Rocky stumped him twice in the one night.
I know, right?
He's making me think. It's not fair. Can I go past present?
Doesn't matter. Present here? Whatever.
Okay. I want Andre the Giant as my Little John.
Okay.
Just because I'd call him Fezzik all the time.
Okay.
Princess Bride fan.
Damn right. Will Scarlet's tough. I can't, I, like, I can't, I, don't have anyone, like, immediately in mind that fits that mold. Part of my head, just because I want to be a jackass that way, I want my Friar Tuck to be the guy from Kainatai that actually did the choppy choppy.
Whatever his name was,
because it's such a memorable character.
Yeah.
And I just figure, you know, that we could knock some bristles out really quick with him. I have no idea what Will Scarlet is.
Okay.
No idea who my Will Scarlet is.
Pick Christian Slater.
Christian Slater. I'll go easy and just say Christian. Just because I'm a mark that way.
You know what? That actually seems to work. I could see Christian as a Will Scarlet.
God.
That's why Edge picked him.
I feel like this is the next generation episode.
Are you picturing Warp?
So basically, I shouldn't say that you should stick with the Patrick Stewart as King Richard.
Well, Patrick Stewart can be King Richard and Robin Hood. And it'd be really fucking weird. I don't want to go obvious with my Maid Marian, though. You know what? My Maid Marian's going to be Lindsay.
Well, that was kind of obvious.
I didn't say Trish.
That would have been too obvious.
Would have been weirder if you picked Lita.
Okay,
I had to laugh my ass off.
You couldn't give that to the poor.
So that's quick hits.
And that's the show. Absolutely nothing to talk about. We still stretch it to almost 2.5 goddamn hours. Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Tomorrow night, the Raw Post Show. Following Raw, naturally, at 11:30 Eastern Time. You'll get 3 hours worth of Raw coverage in about 45 minutes.
Yes.
Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with your host, Alan Wojcik. He interviews people pretty much from the indie scene.
Christopher Daniels will be on the program, along with Florida independent wrestler Naftali.
Wednesday night's just another goddamn wrestling show with the Cheap Wood paneling.
8:30 p.m.
If Rock's in, then it can, like, hold up.
Yeah.
He had to postpone the show last week and then talk to Comcast for 4 hours.
Oh, I never told you what they... Anyway, continue.
No, tell me after. Thursday night at 11 o'clock Eastern, it's Lindsay's Rack with Lindsay.
Yes. Come check out the Rack because we might talk wrestling.
As opposed to what?
Well, Lindsay's going to be preoccupied watching Louisville play in college and the Atlanta Falcons play on NFL Thursday Night Football. So,
there you go. Football talk on the Rack this Thursday night.
Yes, plus your Impact recap and anything else we could possibly think of. Check out the Rack Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Johnny Cashmere with some really strange people on Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, with the wake-up call. Oh, man, talk about fringe. Well, at least Michael Tellinger wasn't quite as weird as the guy the show before.
This is very close. True. This guy was kind of sane compared to everyone else Johnny's had on the show. But if you want to learn about rocks and stuff, check out the wake-up call from this past Friday night.
Seriously, you've got to check out some of the shit that goes down on Cashmere's show because it's weird. I mean, it's out there. It's esoteric. Strange. Saturday night, midnight-ish, as close as they can get to it, another edition of Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Yes, you never know what we'll talk about. Last night we talked about Gangnam Style. we introduced Rob to Gangnam Style, and you heard the commercial earlier. Yeah.
Why did you do that to him?
Because he was drunk.
Rob was drunk. But we were... kind of. But no, we were going through a whole bunch of different music things, and we were going through the top music of, you know, current day, and that's one of them. We had to introduce him. Because we were talking about Tyga, T-Y-G-A. Yeah, we don't know who the fuck he is, but he was the best, one of the nominees for Best New Artist. Can't help you. Check it out. CB Radio. You never know what we'll do. Midnight-ish every Saturday night.
Sort of. Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, another edition of Rust Talk Radio. Who knows? Maybe shit will happen this week in professional wrestling. We'll actually... So we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
That being, I'm done. We're done. Get out of here.
Bye, everybody. Tim Stein's still cheap.